ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Hare Krishna. We completed the first 11 chapters of Bhagavad Gita and we'll begin the 12th chapter. And the 11th chapter of Gita ended with an emphasis on Bhakti Yoga. In the 11th chapter, Arjuna requested Krishna to display his universal form, and Krishna revealed his universal form or the Vishwarupa. And Arjuna finally became very fearful of this universal form and requested Krishna, please withdraw this universal form and show me your pleasant four-handed form and two-handed form. And finally Krishna withdrew that universal form and manifested himself in this human-like Shyamsundar form, two-handed form. And finally he established that bhakti or ananya bhakti unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the source of all forms, whether it is four-handed form or thousand-handed form, Krishna is the source of all forms. Bhakti unto Krishna is the ultimate path of self-realization. That's the best way to realize the Supreme Lord that Krishna established. Although Krishna established that bhakti to Supreme Lord Krishna in his personal form as Shyamsundar is the highest spiritual path, still there are some spiritual practitioners who are attached to impersonal Brahman. Arjuna is aware of this. So Arjuna asked, Krishna, there are some people who are attached to impersonal Brahman and some people worship your personal form. And Arjuna himself also is a worshipper of Krishna's personal form. He is attached to Krishna's form, Krishna's human-like form as Shyamsundar. And he is asking Krishna to clarify, those who are attached to impersonal Brahman are better spiritual practitioners, or those who are attached to your personal form, personality, are they better? So can you please clarify this doubt? That's how this chapter begins. And Arjuna basically asks, who is better, a personalist or an impersonalist? Personalist is a person who is attached to the personal form of Krishna as Shyamsundar. Impersonalist is a person who is attached to the impersonal effulgence, Brahman effulgence of the Lord. Okay. So then Krishna establishes the superiority of Bhakti Yoga once again, and he establishes the superiority of Bhakti Yogi in comparison to an impersonalist. Personalist is better than impersonalist. That he establishes in 2nd sloka till 7th sloka. And in the 1st sloka, Arjuna asks this question. And from 8th sloka till 12th sloka, Krishna describes various progressive levels of bhakti. The best form of doing bhakti is constantly being absorbed in the thought of Krishna. Mayyeva mana adhatsva. If one cannot do that, at least absorb your intelligence in Krishna. If one cannot absorb even intelligence in Krishna, absorb your senses in service of Krishna. So we'll discuss more in detail. That's a very important section of this whole chapter, progressive levels of bhakti. So like that, Krishna gives different levels in which one can practice Bhakti Yoga. If you can't do that, do this. If you can't do this, like that. So that he will take in 5 slokas, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And from 13th sloka till 20th sloka, Krishna describes the qualities of a devotee that endear that devotee to Krishna. What qualities Bhakti Yogi should possess so that Bhakti Yogi can become dear to Krishna. So there are so many qualities, 31 qualities Krishna gives in this chapter. They are mentioned in the last 8 verses of this chapter. So this is a brief outline of this 12th chapter, which has only 20 shlokas. So only 20 shlokas. In this 20 shlokas, the superiority of Bhakti Yoga over impersonal path, or the superiority of a personalist or a devotee over an impersonalist is established. That is one part. Second part, different levels of bhakti are described. third part, different qualities of a bhakta are described. So we'll discuss the first part in this session. First shloka, Arjuna is saying.
Arjuna uvacha. Evam satata yuktaye.
Evam satata yuktaye.
Bhaktastvam paryupasate.
Bhaktastvam paryupasate.
Yechapyaksharam avyaktam.
Yechapyaksharam avyaktam.
Tesham ke yoga vittamah.
Tesham ke yoga vittamah.
Evam satata yuktaye.
Means satata means always. Yukta means one who is engaged. Okay. Evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam paryupasate. O Krishna, a devotee, bhakta, or a personalist devotee, always worships you. Evam satata yuktaye, always engaged in your devotional service, your loving worship. That's what a devotee does. Second category.
Ye chapi aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittama.
But there are other people, they are impersonalist meditators, they worship this Aksharam. Aksharam refers to Brahman, the unmanifested Brahman, effulgence of the Lord. So Aksharam and Avyaktam, Avyaktam is unmanifested, Aksharam is beyond senses. So in Subodhini you can correct, both I gave as Aksharam, Aksharam, so you can just make that correction. So one is Aksharam, one is Avyaktam, unmanifest is Avyaktam. So the impersonal Brahman has these qualities, Aksharam and Avyaktam, unmanifest and it cannot be destroyed, fine, it's beyond senses. So, some people are attached to impersonal Brahman and some people are attached to personal form of the Lord. Which of these two spiritual practitioners is best? That is Arjuna's question. Okay.
Tesham ke yoga vittamaha.
Who is best in his practice of yoga? Yoga means connection with the Supreme. Clear? So you can connect with the Supreme in various ways. Earlier we discussed, if your connection with the Supreme is through your prescribed duties, you are a karma yogi. And what you are doing is karma yoga. And if you are trying to connect with the Supreme through your knowledge and philosophical analysis and other things, you are a jnana yogi. And what you are doing is jnana yoga. And if you are trying to connect with the Supreme Lord through meditation on His personal form, on His partial representation as Paramatma, then you are an Ashtanga Yogi. What you are doing is Dhyana Yoga. And if you are trying to connect with Krishna, connect with the Supreme, through various services as Sravanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Kirtanam and all that, then you are a Bhakti Yogi. And that is the best path which is established in Bhagavad Gita. We discussed it several times in Bhagavad Gita classes. So, now, there are some people who approach Brahman, especially the Jnanis. So, they try to connect with the Supreme through philosophical analysis and they aim to merge in the impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Lord. So, Brahman, so getting absorbed or merged in Brahman is their aspiration. They are aspiring for liberation. We'll discuss more when we come to verse number 5. So, there are such practitioners. So, ultimately you are reaching Krishna only. You either end up in Krishna's effulgence by following Jnana Yoga, or you either end up in Krishna's company by following Bhakti Yoga. It's up to you. Ultimately you have to reach Krishna only. So, Prabhupada gives a beautiful example in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. You keep a cup of milk here, and if you approach the milk with your eyes, means other senses you are not bringing in contact. You are not touching the milk, you are not smelling the milk, you are not tasting the milk. You are just bringing your eyes in contact with the milk. You are seeing the milk. You will just understand that it is a white substance. You try to bring your ears in contact with the milk. You have closed your eyes, you close your nose, all other senses are not in contact with milk, only ears are in contact with milk. Means you hear about milk, hot milk, cold milk, whatever. And you try to bring your nose in contact with milk. Then you will only smell milk. What is its fragrance? What is its aroma? That's only you will understand. Other senses are not interacting, right? You touch the milk. You will understand it's wet, it's a liquid substance, it's hot or it's cold. But if you drink the milk, you bring your mouth in contact with milk, you will get the best advantage of milk. Fine. So by bringing your eyes in contact with the milk, your skin, your nose, your ears, you cannot get complete benefit of the milk. But by bringing your tongue in contact with milk, you will be nourished. Your body will be nourished. Is it not? Similarly, if you approach Krishna just by your philosophical analysis or intellectual capability, speculation or something like that, you will end up realizing only his effulgence. Okay? That is Brahman realization. And if you follow the path of meditation and do Ashtanga Yoga, you will realize only his partial representation as Paramatma. And if you perform services to the Supreme Lord, to the personal form of the Lord, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, etc., you will realize the personality of Godhead. So ultimately, whether you are following Ashtanga or Jnana or Bhakti, you are approaching Krishna only. But by one path, you are approaching only effulgence of Krishna. By another path, you are approaching a Xerox copy, a partial representation of Krishna, that is Paramatma. And by another path, Bhakti Yoga, you are approaching the personality and dealing with him face to face, directly interacting with him. That is Bhakti Yoga. So it's the choice of the practitioner. But by an absolute comparison, unbiased comparison, Bhakti Yoga is established to be the best and ultimate spiritual path. Okay. So I just gave the answer, because Prabhupada also gives the answer before Krishna answers. So basically Arjuna is asking this question: who is most perfect in yoga? See, Tesham ke yoga vittamaha. Yoga vittama, tama means uttama. So who is the best and most perfect in knowledge of yoga? Yoga vit means one who understands yoga. Yoga vittama means the person who understands the knowledge of yoga to the best ability, to the best possible extent. So the impersonalist also engages himself not directly in the service of the Lord, but in meditation on the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifest. Okay, they meditate on the impersonal, unmanifest Brahman. We find in this chapter that the different processes of realization of the absolute truth, Bhakti Yoga, is the highest. Okay, so we can go through the purport. So we kind of discussed the essence of it in our earlier classes also. Now Krishna starts answering.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Maya Vishyamano Yemam.
Maya Vishyamano Yemam.
Nitya Yukta Upasate.
Nitya Yukta Upasate.
Shraddhaya Parayopetaham.
Shraddhaya Parayopetaham.
Teme Yukta Tamamataham.
Teme Yukta Tamamataham.
Arjuna's question is, who is the most perfect in yoga? Okay, he asked, Tesham ke yoga vittamah. Now Krishna is answering, Teme yukta tamamataha. The best knower of yoga, the best practitioner of yoga is a person who is described in the second shloka. Who is that?
Maya avesha mano yemam. Mai avesha means a pure devotee is constantly absorbed in the thought of Krishna.
Mai avesha. Mano. Mano is mind. Yemam. If a devotee is totally absorbing his mind in Krishna, he is the best yogi. He is the best spiritualist.
Mayyavesha mano yemam.
How long? For 1 hour? For half an hour? Absorbing mind in Krishna?
Nitya yukta. Constantly engaging your mind in Krishna's thoughts.
Remember in Krishna's nama, rupa, guna, leela. If a mind is totally absorbed in Krishna, always, you are the best yogi. Krishna also said it. That's how he concluded the first 6 chapters. What is the last? The conclusion of 6th chapter.
Yoginam
api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana.
One who constantly meditates on the Supreme Lord Krishna within his mind, such a person is the best yogi. Okay.
Next. Nitya yukta upasati.
Not only thinking of Krishna in the mind, but also worshipping the Supreme Lord Krishna.
Shraddhaya. And that worship is not a sentimental, ritualistic, formal worship.
It is Shraddhaya. It is endowed with pure transcendental faith.
Shraddhaya parayopetaha.
It is not ordinary Shraddha. It is parashraddha. It is transcendental faith. endowed with great transcendental faith. Teme yukta tamamataha, such a person is the best practitioner of yoga. He is the best yogi. And he is basically bhakti yogi. And ananya bhakti. What he is doing is ananya bhakti. One who is totally absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna and engaging himself constantly in the worship of Krishna and service of Krishna is the best spiritualist. Krishna established it. Then what to speak of, what about the impersonalist person? So he is attached not to the personal form of the Lord. Because Krishna is clearly saying, Mam, Maya Vesha Mano Ye Mam, me. Me means Krishna. So Krishna says, this Mam means it is Krishna. If you observe yourself in Krishna, very clear understanding. No scope for interpretation. Maya Vesha Mano E Mam. If you, and who is speaker? Krishna is the speaker. If you absorb your mind only in Krishna, you are the best spiritualist. No need to replace that mom with 100 other objects. You absorb yourself in so-and-so person, so-and-so object. Mom is very clear. Prabhupada writes here. In answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates upon his personal form and who worships him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. Prabhupada just repeated what is there in the verse, in the first sentence of the purport. For one, in such Krishna consciousness, there is no material activities. Somebody may ask, what is this Krishna consciousness? How is this word coined? Here it's there. Mayyavesha manoyama means Krishna consciousness. One who is always conscious of me is directly coming from Krishna only. Fixing your mind in Krishna, fixing your consciousness in Krishna. Mayyavesha manoyama means one who is constantly in Krishna consciousness. So a Krishna conscious person is the best yogi. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna, or sometimes he cooks prasadam or goes to marketplace to purchase something for Krishna. So this is how a devotee is constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. Fine. Now what about the impersonalists? Krishna says, in the 3rd, 4th and 5th shlokas, Krishna speaks about the impersonalists. Only 3 shlokas in this chapter. Rest everything is about personalists only. So Arjuna asks one question and Krishna speaks about impersonalists in 3 shlokas. Remaining 16 shlokas are about devotees. 3rd shloka.
Yetvaksharama nirdeshyam.
Avyaktam paryupasate. Avyaktam paryupasate.
Sarvatragam
achintyam cha. Sarvatragam achintyam cha.
Kutastham achalam dhruvam.
Kutastham achalam dhruvam.
Sanniyam yendriya gramam.
Sanniyam yendriya gramam.
Sarvatra samabuddhayah.
Sarvatra samabuddhayah.
Te prapnuvanti mameva.
Te prapnuvanti mameva.
Sarvabhutahite ratah.
Now Krishna speaks about the impersonalist worshippers, the persons who fully worship impersonal Brahman, which is Aksharam, unmanifested. Sorry, Aksharam is beyond sense perception. Kshara. Akshara is beyond our senses. Anirdesham, indefinite. Avyaktam, unmanifest. Paryupasate means one who worships. One who worships the unmanifested, transcendental, indefinite Brahman. And further qualities are mentioned. Sarvatragam means all pervading. Achintyam cha, inconceivable. Kotastham, changeless. Achalam, fixed, immovable. Dhruvam, dhruvam is immovable, achalam is fixed. More or less similar meanings. Achalam is immovable also. So here, dhruvam is fixed. Achalam is immovable. So, these are the qualities of Brahman. Next. So, there are people who are attached to worshipping this Brahman which has these 8 qualities. What are the 8 qualities? Aksharam, Anirdesham, Avyaktam, Kotastham, Achalam, Dhruvam and Sarvatragam, Achintyam. So, these are the 8 qualities of Brahman which are mentioned in this 3rd shloka. Okay. And what do the practitioners do exactly while they are worshipping Brahman? What does their method of worship include? What are the prerequisites for their worship? Sanniyam yendriya gramam. 4th shloka Krishna says, Sanniyamya indriya gramam. they control their senses. They worship the impersonal Brahman by the process of, number one, sanniyam yendriya gramam, controlling their senses. Sarvatra samabuddhayaha, and they are equally disposed to everyone. They have this quality of equanimity. Sarvatra means everywhere. Samabuddhayaha, they have equal vision. Okay. Third, te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hitirataha. Third quality is sarvabhuta hita. They are engaged in the welfare of other people. Even that impersonalist practitioners also, they think about others' welfare. Okay. So te prapnuvanti, they also attain mameva. They also attain Krishna only. But Krishna not in his personal feature. They attain Krishna in his impersonal feature, Brahman effulgence. Fine. So at last they achieve the Lord, impersonal Brahman. So if impersonalists also attain Krishna and personalists also attain Krishna, what is the difference? So a person who is touching the milk is also coming in contact with Krishna. Seeing the milk is also coming in contact with, A person who is seeing the milk is also coming in contact with milk. A person who is drinking the milk is also in contact with milk. Who is the best person? One who is drinking. Similarly, these people also are attaining Krishna. Bhakti yogis also are attaining Krishna. But their attainment is not exactly the same. Bhakti yogis attain the personal aspect of Krishna, while impersonalists attain the impersonal effulgence of Krishna. Okay, which is also an aspect of Krishna. When the person is there, person's effulgence is also there. You end up in effulgence. Means you are attaining Krishna, in one sense. Okay, but it is not the full realization of Krishna. It's a partial realization of Krishna. Brahman realization and Paramatma realization are not complete realizations of the Supreme Lord. Bhagavan realization is complete. And then Bhagavan realization includes Brahman realization, includes Paramatma realization also. Prabhupada writes in the purport, those who do not directly worship the Supreme Godhead Krishna, but who attempt to achieve the same goal in an indirect process, also ultimately achieve the same goal, Sri Krishna. After many births, a wise man of wisdom seeks refuge in me, knowing that Vasudeva is all. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye, yatatam abhisiddhavanam, bahunam janmanamante gnanavan maam prapadyati, Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. That is this. And in order to perceive the super soul within the individual soul, one has to cease the sensual activities of seeing, hearing, tasting, working, etc. Then one comes to understand that the supreme soul is present everywhere. But for the common man, this method of impersonal realization is very difficult. So, that's why Krishna describes the difficulty and troubles on the path of this impersonalism. All these impersonalists who are trying to realize Brahman, they are following a very tough path. Krishna describes in the 5th sloka. Kleshodhikatarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta higatir dukham dehavadbhir avapyate klesho adhikatarastesham. Klesha means difficulty. How much difficulty? Adhikatara. Lot of difficulty. Kleshodhikatarastesham, for those people who are attached to impersonal Brahman, their path is very troublesome, filled with so many difficulties, because they are avyakta asakta chetasam. Their chetasa, consciousness, is asakta, absorbed in avyakta, unmanifest Brahman. Avyakta asakta chetasam. Avyakta hi gatir dukkham, the progress towards avyakta, impersonal Brahman, is dukkham. It's filled with so many difficulties. Dehavadbhir avapyate, for all those embodied souls, attachment to impersonal Brahman and the path of reaching impersonal Brahman is filled with lot of difficulties. Their practices are very severe and all that. But on the other hand, we have seen in Bhakti Yoga, susukham kartum avyayam, even in the practice days also, a devotee relishes. He does sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam and all. Remembering Krishna is relishable. Serving Krishna is relishable. Hearing about Krishna is relishable. Chanting the holy names of Krishna is relishable. And after perfecting his path of Bhakti Yoga, again he will continue to do the same things. So thus, a Bhakti Yogi's path is quite relishable, while a impersonalistic path is not that relishable, but it is filled with lot of difficulties and austerities. It's a very important shloka and important purport here. We'll first analyze the difference between bhakti yogis and jnani yogis based on this purport. So we are basically explaining the difference between personalist and impersonalist. Personalist path is easy, we said. Krishna said, impersonalist path is difficult. So let's see how exactly it is. Now those who worship the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord are called jnana yogis, or they are impersonalists. And those who perform devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, mayyavesha manoyemam, they are called bhakti yogis. This is a basic difference. Jnana yogis worship impersonal Brahman, bhakti yogis worship Krishna person. Number two, like the Supreme Lord, living entity is also Sachidananda. He is eternal, he is blissful, and he is knowledgeable. Sachit Ananda. And by Jnana Yoga, means a Jnana Yogi, by following Jnana Yoga, he may realize the eternal and knowledgeable aspects of his original feature. Sachit Ananda is there. Ananda is bliss. Sat is eternity. Chit is knowledge. By following Jnana Yoga, you may end up realizing these two aspects. You will discover your potential of being eternal and knowledgeable. Fine. But the bliss portion is not realized. Bliss portion is realized only in Bhakti Yoga. That's why in Chaitanya Charitamrita also Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna Dasa Abhimana Yeyananda Sindhu Koti Brahma Sukhana He Tara Eka Bindu. So people may think that there is a lot of happiness in impersonal realization and absorption in Brahman. There is Brahmananda. But in comparison to Bhaktiananda, Bhaktiananda means the ananda or the happiness that you derive by performing devotional service. So in comparison to Bhaktiananda, Brahmananda is nothing. An ocean of Brahmananda is inferior to a particle or particle of a drop of Bhaktiananda. Okay. So that's why tulayam alavena apina swargam napunar bhavam bhagavat sangya sangasya martyanam kimutasishah. Multiple times this verse came in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Take a tula, put the happiness of associating with devotees, which is an aspect of Bhakti Yoga on one side, and put the ultimate realizations of Jnana path and Karma path on the other side, which is liberation and heavenly planets. This weighs more. So the happiness derived in Bhakti Yoga is millions and millions of times more than the happiness of absorbing in Brahman. Because we are all Sachidanandas, so only Sat and Chit parts are realized by Jnana Yoga. But the bliss portion is realized only by Bhakti Yoga. Third aspect. By the grace of some devotee, a transcendentalist, highly learned in the process of Jnana Yoga, may come to the point of Bhakti Yoga also. So even Jnana Yogi is okay, they'll end up in Brahman and it's over. No, if a Jnana Yogi is fortunate enough to come in contact with a Bhakti Yogi, such Jnanis also can be converted into Bhaktas. Even the goal of impersonal Brahman, which is attained by Jnana Yogis, by such suffering is only by having a mixture of Bhakti. So even to attain your Jnana, your impersonal Brahman effulgence also, you need to have some element of Bhakti there. Not pure Jnana. Without Bhakti to the Lord, the worshippers of impersonal Brahman obtain only suffering. Kleshodhika tarastesham only will remain. Avyakta asakta chetasam. And through the Bhakti, though the Bhakti Yogis also endure difficulty, means you get up early in the morning, there is some difficulty there. But still, because they are deriving some ananda and some reciprocation from the personality Krishna directly, all the difficulties that they are undergoing are compensated. So Bhakti Yogi also has some difficulties in his sadhana, his practice. Some severe practices are there. Controlling senses, engaging in various sanghas of Bhakti. All these are there. But that is, Bhakti Yogi just accepts it with great pleasure. Okay? So these are the distinctions between Bhakti Yogis and Jnana Yogis. So I kind of summarized the distinctions given in Prabhupada's purport, Baldev Vidya Bhushan's purport, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purport in this just 5-6 points that I just mentioned. A crude example may be given. We may find some mailboxes on the street, and if we post our letters in these boxes, they will naturally go to their destination without difficulty. No, mailboxes are not there, emails are there. but any old box or an imitation which we may find somewhere, but which is not authorized by the government post box, post office, will not work. You put a letter in the post box, some red color is there, right, in those days, childhood. So it will just go to the destination. You are assured, wherever you put it, will just reach. But you just put in any box, any dabba that you see on the street, it will not go. So, like that. Similarly, God has an authorized representation in the deity form, which is called Archa Vigraha. This Archa Vigraha is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. God will accept service through that form. The Lord is omnipotent, all-powerful, therefore by His incarnation as Archa Vigraha, He can accept services of the devotee. So now we are saying Bhakti Yoga, directly interacting with the person, serving the person, but where is the person? I can't see. Yes, He is there in the form of His deity. So Prabhupada writes about deity worship also. So 6th and 7th shlokas, Krishna elaborates on the glory of Bhakti Yoga. He says,
Yetu sarvani karmani,
Yetu sarvani karmani,
Mayi sanyasya matparaha,
Mayi sanyasya matparaha,
Ananyenaiva yogena,
Ananyenaiva yogena,
Mam dhyayanta upasate,
Mam dhyayanta upasate,
Yetu sarvani karmani, Mayi sanyasya matparaha.
Sarvani karmani means all the activities that you are doing. Mayi sanyasya, give them up to me. Sanyasya means giving up. That is renunciation. Sanyasya means just giving up, relinquishing. So it's not just relinquishing your activities or the results of your activities. Mayi sanyasya, Krishna says, give them to me. Offer them to me. You give them up? Nowhere. Not like that. You give them up to Krishna. Mayi sanyasya is a very important point. So a sannyasa without Krishna element is not very much appreciated in Bhagavad Gita. So just detachment is not sufficient. Detachment has to be accompanied with attachment to Krishna. Detachment from matter plus attachment to Krishna is called Mayi Sanyasya. Sanyasya is detachment, Mayi is Krishna. Okay, attachment to Krishna. So when our detachment from matter is accompanied by attachment to Krishna, then that is bhakti. Okay. So many spiritual practitioners only speak about detachment from matter. They don't speak so much about attachment to Krishna. So they may speak about sannyasa, they may not speak Mayi, means Krishna part. Mayi sannyasa means give them up as an offering to me. Mat paraha, and then dedicate yourself to me. Krishna says, be devoted to me. Mat paraha. Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sannyasya mat paraha. And ananya naiva yogena, ananya. Anya means something else. Ananya means nothing else. Means without any deviation in your mind. Ananya naiva yogena, engage in bhakti yoga. Ananya bhakti. Mam dhyayanta, meditate on me. Upasate, worship me. So this is what a devotee does. A devotee's path is very easy. He gives up everything to Krishna. And he is devoted to Krishna. He meditates on Krishna. He worships Krishna. And
teshamaham samudharta.
Teshamaham samudharta.
Now in this 7th shloka, Krishna describes what will be the reciprocation of Krishna to such an advanced and ananya devotee. He says,
teshamaham samudharta.
Teshamaham samudharta.
Mrityu samsara sagarat.
Mrityu samsara sagarat.
Bhavami nachirat partha.
Bhavami nachirat partha.
Maya veshita chetasam.
Maya veshita chetasam.
Tesham aham samudharta.
For those pure devotees who are dedicating themselves 100% to me only, aham, me, I personally become their samudharta, swift deliverer. I deliver them. I liberate them. I protect them. I pick them up from this material pool. And Krishna continues the dialogue.
Mrityu samsara vartmani.
So mrityu is death. Samsara is this material
material ocean. Okay, that is defined as described as sagarat. Mrityu samsara sagarat. So this samsara, material existence, which is like a sagara, ocean, has death. There is an ending here. But in the spiritual world, there is no death. Death doesn't exist only. Mrityu samsara sagarat. Tesham aham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat means, whoever is in this material world has to encounter death. So Krishna will pick up a bhakti yogi from this material world, and he will pick up that bhakti yogi from this mrityu samsara sagara and take him to the spiritual world where there is no death. Bhavami nachirat partha. And when will he do it? Nachirat. It doesn't take much time for Krishna to pick up such a devotee. Very quickly he will come and protect. And you may say, quickly means yesterday I shared it, today he should come. So for him, quickly, it's a substantial amount. It could be few years or few decades or few lifetimes. That is also quickly only. On the scale of eternity, your just couple of lifetimes of practice of bhakti yoga is not much actually. It's quickly only. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu gives this example. You take these flowers. So there are 5 petals here. So now to make a garland, sometimes you make a garland with petals. You take these 5 petals like this, one by one. Okay? And then you put 5 more, like that, say you may take 100 petals. Pierce the needle like this. So when you are piercing the needle, it's going through each petal. It's entering the first petal and coming out of the first petal. Then it is entering the second petal and it's coming out of the second petal. Then third petal. Like that, 100 petals are being pierced. Petals or flowers or whatever, depending on what you are trying to do. So when the needle is piercing these petals, although it's piercing through 100 petals, it's coming out in 1 second or 2-3 seconds. Okay, how much time it will take for a needle to pierce 100 petals when you are making a garland for Krishna? So it doesn't take much time. So in that sense, it's quick. But what's happening here is, it's piercing through each and every petal. It's a substantial process. Entering first petal and coming out of second petal. Entering second petal, coming out of third petal. It's taking substantial time inside. But for you who have lot of time to make the garland, it's just 2 seconds. Similarly, on the scale of eternity, whatever amount of time that we are spending to purify ourselves from anarthas is quick only. We should not become impatient. We become impatient. 10 years. Since 10 years I am practicing bhakti yoga, nothing is happening. Since 20 years I am practicing, nothing is happening. It will take a while. We just need to be sincerely sticking to the process given to us by the acharyas. So, when will Krishna reciprocate? It's up to him. He said, what we are supposed to do is 6th verse. Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matparaha anandyena iva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. Krishna says, 6th verse is in your hands. 7th verse is in Krishna's hands. Tesham aham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami nachirat. Krishna says nachirat. So that nachirat is different for different people. I will quickly come. Means Krishna may come for some devotees in 1 day. And Krishna may come for some other devotees in 10 years. Or some other devotees in 3 lifetimes. Okay. It's all nachirat only. It's all quickly only. Depending on what is the intensity of your practice. You focus on the intensifying your practice. And Krishna will just do it. I deliver them swiftly. So when you are not expecting purification or liberation or whatever, at the pace that you wanted, we need to go back and then check. Am I following the 6th verse properly? Am I doing yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya? Am I offering all the results of my all activities just to please Krishna? No. Some selfish intentions are there. Problem is in yourself, not Krishna. Don't blame Krishna. Why Krishna is not coming? Don't say that. So Krishna says clearly, what is he expecting? Matparaha. Did you become matpara? And ananya naiva yogena. Is your yoga ananya? And mam dhyayanta upasati. Are you doing dhyana of Krishna nicely? Upasana of Krishna nicely? So we just focus on the practice and wait for Krishna's mercy. We are no one to demand Krishna. Krishna promised. He will fulfill the promise to the degree we are sincere in following the practice recommended by him. So thus Krishna explained the difference between worshipping the personal and impersonal features of Krishna. While there is no reciprocation from the impersonal feature, There is full protection and swift deliverance from the personality of Krishna. Krishna did not promise, whatever he promised in the 7th sloka for bhakti yogis, Krishna did not promise like that for impersonalists. Krishna just said, klesho dhikataraste sham avyakta asakta chetasam. He just said their practice is very difficult, very troublesome. But here he says, I will be there to protect them from the ocean of material existence, which is filled with so many miseries and death especially. It is explicitly stated here that devotees are very fortunate to be delivered very soon from the material existence by the Lord. In pure devotional service, one comes to the realization that God is great and that the individual soul is subordinate to Him. His duty is to render service to the Lord, and if he does not, then he will render service to Maya. If service is not rendered to Krishna, service has to be rendered to Maya. Only two options. So, for that, one has to fix mind fully on Krishna in order to achieve Him. One should work only for Krishna. It does not matter in what kind of work one engages, but that work should be done only for Krishna. That is the standard of devotional service. Because different services may be there. Somebody may pluck flowers, somebody may clean the temple, somebody may cook for the deities. There are so many services. Somebody may construct the temple, somebody may clean the temple. That's fine. But do some service for Krishna. And Prabhupada writes, the process is very simple. One can devote himself in his occupation and engage at the same time in chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Such transcendental chanting attracts the devotee to the personality of Godhead. Those who are advanced in yoga practice can willfully transfer the soul to whatever planet they like by the yoga process, and others take the opportunity in various ways. But as far as devotees are concerned, it is clearly stated here that the Lord Himself takes him. I will personally come and take. Mrityu samsara sagarat. Tesham aham samuddharta. Krishna said, I will personally come. Don't worry. Yavai sadhana sampattihi purushartha chatushtaye. Taya vina tadapnoti naro narayanashriyaha. The purport of this verse, Prabhupada quotes this from the Narayaniya. The purport of this verse is that one should not engage in different processes of fruitive activity or cultivate knowledge by mental speculative process. One who is devoted to the Supreme Lord can attain all benefits derived from other yogic processes. There are other slokas also of the same theme. What is that? Vedeshu, Yagneshu, Tapasu, Chaiva, Daneshu, Yatpunya, Phalapratishtam, Atyeti, Tatsarvam, Idam, Vidhitva, Yogi, Param, Sthanam, Upaiti, Chadyam. Krishna says in the 8th chapter that whatever you attain by Vedas, Vedic study, and performing sacrifices, and by giving charities and various other Vedic ritualistic performances, you can get all the results of all those processes by practicing Bhakti Yoga, and you can get much, much more, which is not available through their practice. Right? So Bhakti Yoga is not deprived of any such things. Sarva dharmayan parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha ishyami masuchaha. So Krishna is giving this promise to everyone. You just focus on worshipping me and surrendering unto me. I will take care of you. I will do the needful to deliver you. You don't have to worry at all. So this is Krishna's promise. So having established the supremacy of bhakti, Krishna will now describe in the next 5 verses multiple levels of bhakti, beginning with the highest stage. If you can't practice the highest stage, there is second highest, there is third level, there is next level. But like Krishna is very liberal God. He does not demand pure unalloyed devotional service in the first step. You are not ready for it, okay, fine, no problem, you can do this much at least. Okay, then you slowly come to the next level. So all these different levels are within the realm of pure bhakti only. Okay, so within pure bhakti also you can begin your practice with a little bit, and then you can slowly intensify that practice. So ultimately you are intending to purify yourself completely and dedicate yourself completely to Krishna, and to come to that complete dedication to Krishna, there are various steps.
All those steps Krishna describes in the next five shlokas. In the first seven shlokas, Krishna just established the superiority of Bhakti Yoga over the impersonal path. And Krishna also mentioned about the specific transcendental personal reciprocation that he gives to Bhakti Yogis, which is actually not available for other Yogis. Okay. Thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.